Believe me, I'm not sure if I'm succeeding yet, but I'm certainly learning a lot from my podcast. I'll tell you that.
Hi, I'm Cammie Chaos.
And I am Rick Chirosi, and we are mildly interesting people, which is why we go out of our way every week to find someone far more interesting to join us on the show. They may not be familiar to you, but rest assured, these folks are always famous to us. Cammie, who's our guest this week?
This week, we decided to branch out from just having Cammie's friends on the show. I know, I know it's a big shocker for you, but this week, we are bringing on someone who I hope to call my friend by the end of this episode, a fellow podcaster here in the Portland, Oregon area. Please welcome to Mildly Interesting People, the very interesting Gabriel Flores. Hello, Gabriel.
Hello, thank you. Yes, I think the team this time had to go extremely far out to find the interesting person, and they caught me and brought me on the show. So I'm very excited. Thank you for having me.
Don't let him fool you.
He's been kind of lure. Can I get out there for Gabriel? You've been on our list for a little while, so I'm glad to see you.
I'm excited.
Let's talk about something timely before we do everything else, because in addition to the Shades of Entrepreneurship podcast and a multitude of other things, you are on the board or the founder of the Latino Founders Accelerator, and you all are about to have an event. Can you tell us about the accelerator first, and then what's going on with it?
Yeah, super excited. So first and foremost, thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about it. So the Latino Founder Accelerator is an industry agnostic program to support Latino entrepreneurs in scaling their products, technology, and services. So Latino entrepreneurs with a business idea or an existing business participate in a 10-week business accelerator program where they're going to learn about business modeling, finance, prototyping, and they'll get paired up with a hand-selected mentor and resources to help them launch and scale their business. Now, Latino Founders is a nonprofit program. I am one of three founders, Edgar Navas and Juan Braza. They actually started this program before I came in, and they actually looped me in, kind of like you guys. They lured me in for them a couple months ago. And so we've been doing this for about a year now, really trying to focus on establishing a diverse economy here in the state of Oregon. And so our mission is empowering Latino entrepreneurs today to support the establishment of generational wealth tomorrow. And our vision is to generate a diverse and inclusive economy for the Latino entrepreneur here in the state of Oregon. Now, we are currently seeking applicants for our Business Accelerator program, so I'm glad we're bringing it up. Applications are due on July 31st, so I know it's kind of cutting it close for some of those folks that are listening, but we really would encourage you to apply. We do have some spots available, and we really are excited to kind of see where this goes because, you know, one thing I constantly tell people is the first 30 years you're building your resume, and the last 30 years you're building your legacy. And I think this is kind of the foundation of the legacy. But what we want to really try to establish is something that's sustainable. So when we come back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, I would love to see Pitch Latino still going like we see Pitch Black and so many other great initiatives here in the state of Oregon, but without my leadership. Right. We can kind of step away from it and see it continue to grow. So that's what we're really excited to present to you guys today. And again, any entrepreneurs that are out there that are listening to this or interested, please visit LatinoFounders.com. You can also visit me on LinkedIn, Gabriel Flores or Juan Barraza or Edgar Navas. And we're happy to kind of provide some more information.
Awesome.
Follow up question. I know that sometimes, especially for entrepreneurs who aren't even aware that they are entrepreneurs, right? It's something that you just fall into and it's happenstance, and they hear about this accelerator program. What does it take to apply?
Great, great question. So applications is pretty easy. There's a lot of good information on the website as well. So again, who can participate first? I think let's get that out of the way. So we are looking for Latino-led companies with an existing business or a proven track record. So Latinos or individuals that identify as Latinos, 18 years or older, have a business registration for at least a year and have a majority ownership if they establish business with traction. So we're really trying to look for folks that can scale. And then, you know, we're really looking, again, sector agnostic. So really provide an in-depth array. We're looking at hardware, software, athletics, outdoors, consumer packaged goods, food and beverage, transportation, and then how to apply. Just again, visit latinofounders.com, and there's applications there. And then those applications will be reviewed. Each application will be reviewed by a panel of reviewers, and then we'll select our cohort. And yeah, we're really excited to welcome this year's cohort.
That's really exciting.
It maybe also because, you know, a lot of us live in the tech industry and the accelerator is kind of a known term. Can you maybe describe just like some of the mentoring and benefits they would get from participating in a program like this?
Great, great question. So think about it as a foundation, right? We kind of look at it as like four pillars. So one pillar is going to be product development. One pillar would be business development. Another product will be scaling. And another a pillar will be exit. Now, under each one of those pillars is a foundation that we're going to need. And each one of those foundations will be strategy, operations, and finance. So each time you're talking about either business development or strategy or scaling or exit strategy, right, we want those three core subjects. And so we're going to actually work with experts here, like Built Oregon, a lot of different experts here in the state of Oregon to really help us support that mentorship. And so we are being strategic as well when we're identifying board members. So one, we want to identify representations in different regions, right? A southern region, mm-hmm. Eastern Oregon region, the coastal region, northern and south, right? And then also identify individuals that have expertise in those areas that we don't have, right? I'm business development. I'm not operations. So we brought in Veronica, who's phenomenal in operations. We brought in somebody who's phenomenal in fundraising, right? And so we're really trying to create not only a diverse economy in the state of Oregon, but also within our board, right? We're trying to identify individuals. Let's leverage your strengths because we all have these core competencies, but some are much better than others. And so we're trying to leverage those and identify who can really be that leader, that mentor that's really going to help these entrepreneurs scale, right? Or understanding mm-hmm. what an exit strategy is. Because in truth be told, most exit strategies occur because of something happened in a life, right? A life-changing event. And so just being prepared for that is also important.
Awesome. Thank you.
One clarifying question. We said Oregon a lot. Is it limited to Oregonians or
That is a great question. It is not limited to Oregonians. In fact, I reached out to a gentleman in New York. I'm like, hey, if you guys have an entrepreneur out in New York that's interested in this program, we are welcoming everybody. We certainly want to highlight and showcase the state of Oregon because we are phenomenal, right? I mean, the Rose City, baby. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we want to be as inclusive as possible.
Fantastic. Cool.
Also, yeah, that was something I always appreciated about Pitch Latinx was people would participate from all over, and you not only would Oregon people get to see the kind of caliber that was being developed around the nation, but also it kind of bridged some of those gaps and provided connections for people as well, which is great.
We were talking earlier about Juan. Juan is the one that brought you in to the program, or?
Yes. Yeah. So Juan is
to say no to.
Man, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm realizing Juan knows everybody, or everybody knows. It's one of the two, right? But Juan Barraza, I bet with him, you worked at Portland State. I graduated at Portland State. And so we connected because I really wanted to know about what he was doing in the entrepreneurship world. I actually brought him on the podcast, The Shades of Entrepreneurship, a shameless plug real quick. I brought him on, and he just has just an in-depth knowledge of, you know, the venture capital world and also just the community at large. You know, I think he has a good sense of who to talk to, why to talk to them, and what we should be coming with them for our needs, right? Because I think a lot of people, you can talk to a lot of people, but you don't want to fill up the room with a lot of air. You want to come with some substance. And I think that's really important because time is limited, you know? And so he's really good about preparing that elevator speech.
I just want to say Juan has all of the knowledge and all of the preparedness, but his heart is just so huge. And it just seems like every time he meets a human, he wants to do something to help them.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen him shy away from like supporting anyone, helping like in person, online. He's we need more Juans in the world.
I feel bad because I give him so much crap.
Well, yeah. Just,
I mean, you kind of have to.
Someone has to. You and Rick, that can be your job. There you go. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. No, Juan, that's not okay. They're being bullies. Because you kind of are. But somebody's got to.
We mean it in a loving way.
So speaking of shameless plugs for your podcast, we don't get podcasters on our podcast every day, but we do enjoy a meta conversation about podcasters podcasting on a podcast. So tell us about Shades of Entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I got to say it's weird being on the other side sometimes as being the interviewee. So I started the Shades of Entrepreneurship. I was actually going to Syracuse University right before the pandemic hit. All of a sudden, the pandemic hit, everything went virtual. And so I'm sitting at home doing virtual classes, reading all these case studies in Harvard Business Review about entrepreneurs and their, you know, trials and tribulations and really what makes a successful business. And so I'm thinking about myself, I'm an extrovert. I like to talk. I'm like, well, I'm sitting at home. I'm seeing what the pandemic is doing to our local community here in the Pacific Northwest. How can I use my platform to showcase what we're doing locally, but at the same time, bring awareness to some of our community members and what we're trying to create, right? But also provide an education. Because what I'm really trying to establish is the belief that this is possible. Success isn't going to happen overnight. These perfectly curated Instagram, you know, profiles aren't accurate. Although they're nice, but it does take a lot of hard work. And then I just really wanted to showcase that. And so we brought in a lot of great, phenomenal Pacific Northwest entrepreneurs. I also try to bring in some external folks just so we can, one, learn from, you know, some of the experts that are out there nationally, but two, selfishly, I want their community to know about our community, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want their fans to hear what we're doing here locally. And so we've been doing that for about 2 years, which mm-hmm. has really been fun. As you know, podcasting is really unique. I reach out to folks all the time that I have a list of folks. I'm like, I really want to talk to you, really want to talk to you. And so yeah. reaching out to a lot of folks, there's been some no's and that's okay too, right? Mm-hmm. But it's been fun because I'm learning so much. Like I'm learning about recording, about audio. I'm learning about SEO on a website. I'm learning about how to write a newsletter, how to create blog posts, all these different unique things that come with being this, you know, entrepreneur podcaster. All right. Mm-hmm. And now what that has done is it's really opened the doors to create a huge network and an opportunity to do more, right? You know, Jonas Salk, the creator of the vaccine for polio, once said the reward for a job well done is the opportunity to do more. And mm-hmm. I think that's what this podcast has provided me, is it's rewarding me with opportunities to do more in the community, which I never thought was possible, but it's because this community is so welcoming and they're willing to like work with you and being like, hey, if you want to do it, we'll show you what we've done to make it successful. Watch out for this landmine over here. Don't get tripped up on this and focus on this. But at the end of the day, we're here for you. And that for me, just in itself has been the most gratifying thing about the podcast. Just seeing individuals kind of reach out to you and like, hey, thank you for this opportunity. Or, hey, I learned this, like I was mentioning from your podcast. I learned about floating, this new technique, right? I'm like, what is this? This is so cool. And I think that, you know, hopefully the folks that listen to the show, The Shades of Entrepreneurship, do get a sense of some education and a sense of belonging, like you truly do belong in this community, and your idea, your creative thoughts, and they matter. In fact, people are wanting to hear your creative thought and idea and product and service. You just have to get out there and do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be people that are going to help you along the way, but there's also going to be able to people to say, you know what, maybe don't go down this street, go down this street. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I'm very, very thankful. I don't get paid for the podcast. I do it for free. There's no advertisements on my podcast. It's just mm-hmm. me having fun in the basement, you know, and I enjoy it. I truly enjoy it. It's been fun. My wife's like, oh my God, you do another recording. I was like, yeah, I don't mind it. It's great. So I enjoy it. How do you guys like, you know, you guys are podcasters. I'm going to flip it out. How do you guys enjoy it? Especially too, you know, kind of a tag team duo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this part. I like the talking. I like interviewing. I am an introvert, but I love people. And so doing the podcasting is really a way for me to socialize without overextending myself. And it's been really very satisfying. And then Rick just always needs to have like 7 full-time jobs. and at least 6 of those should not pay him anything. And so yes, the podcast is one of his additional full-time jobs that pays him absolutely nothing. And he's also down in the basement.
Yeah.
That's where the podcasting happens.
Yeah. This is where the production, the production studio is down in the basement. But also there's, like you talked about earlier, Gabriel, like it's really kind of a creative outlet. Like the technology that we now have at our disposal has simplified so many things that like we used to podcast years and years ago, and it was such a heavy lift, not to necessarily even capture the content, but to edit the content and format the content and then, you know, get it uploaded and all those kind of things. And today it's just, it's far easier, which makes it a much more pleasant experience and allows you to kind of explore things creatively that you wouldn't have had the time to do before. Yeah. And that's what I've really been enjoying about it this time around.
Yeah, so. I agree. And I think you having that experience of, you know, before things got easier, because like, for example, I work in healthcare. That's where my career lies, my professional career. And, you know, you talk to a surgeon and they're like, you know, the old surgeon is like, yeah, it's so much nicer to be able to do it from your hands, because when this robotic machine can't do it and you have to revert back to your hands, it's nice to kind of have that experience and knowledge. Because eventually technology, you know, we talked about it earlier, technology sometimes has its moments, right?
Yeah.
Everybody forgets to, you know, click mute in some meeting at some point, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting though. But at the same time, learning it has been so cool. I never been an audio kind of person like this, at least like checking WAV files and you know, adjusting things. And it's really fun. It's learning is always fun, whether it's something new or old. And again, I always say on my podcast, I've never failed a day in my life. Either succeed or I learn. And believe me, I'm not sure if I'm succeeding yet, but I'm certainly learning a lot from my podcast. I'll tell you that.
You're succeeding on learning. So there you go.
There you go. There you go.
You've been doing the show for 2 years. How has it changed? Like, we all know you do the first episode and you're just doing whatever you do, and then you move along the way. And as time goes by, you tweak things, things take a natural path. Is your show very different today than it was when you started it?
I think the core content is still the same, right? The mission is still trying to educate and provide a platform for our entrepreneurs. But I will say the quality has gotten a little bit better over the time, right? You're slowly getting better quality. But also, I think, you know, me asking better questions, because that was been important. Me actually truly listening to some of my get or some of my listeners and inquiring, hey, what do you want to know? In fact, one of my guests, he's the one who encouraged me to ask the question, have you ever had a moment of self-doubt? And so you'll notice halfway through the season, I started asking that question, and almost everybody has self-doubt, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the way, has been enlightening is how each different individual addresses that self-doubt and how they overcome it. Because everybody, at least every entrepreneur I've talked to has had it and experiences it still to this day, right? Yep. I think we all have that sense of imposter syndrome sometime, but they just run through the wall, right? Yep. And it's just like, you know, getting that, understanding that, and then learning so much too. I go back to how much I've learned from everybody else too. That has been fun. But I think I've trying to take some of those things I've learned and apply them to the show. So you're seeing, hopefully, the folks are seeing, you know, better quality conversations and SEO and, you know, these things. But as far as the core, I would say the core mission has stayed the same.
Nice.
One thing that, like, I tend to do a lot of research on people and, like, try and be as prepared as I possibly can be for the show. But inevitably, you know, to paraphrase a far more violent analogy, everybody has a game plan until the guest says something you didn't expect. Like, what? And then it goes somewhere that is often amazing and enlightening. Are there any moments that stick with you from your 2 years where you're like, I didn't expect this guest to go this direction at all, but we wound up down this path and it was amazing? Like, anything like that that you can recall?
Yeah, I think there's two guests in particular. One was like one of my first guests, Bob Boxler. He's a real estate broker. He was a former engineer, and then he started going through, you know, he's up in Canada working, and then his dad got sick. Or I think he was out in Hawaii, maybe he was working. And his dad got sick and he came home, and his dad passed away at a very young age, about like 40 or something, 50 years old. And he talked about how that changed him so much that he realized he just hated being an engineer. He just absolutely hated it, and then pivoted and said, you know, I'm doing real estate now. And just the joy of that moment, I think though that was like a pivotal moment for me understanding, like, we all go through these difficult hardships in life, you're right, these adversities in life. And what's a testament of our character is truly how do we react to those adverse moments, right? How do we come out of that? Because he could have easily sunk into a hole and just got very, you know, upset and depressed and sad, but he didn't. He completely pivoted his life. And even though he was a very successful engineer, he wasn't happy. And that to me made me realize, you know, at the end of the day, nobody's going to remember you staying up late at night answering emails or working late, except for your kids and your wife or your significant other, right? Yeah. And so any career you do, any career you have a very small impact. So for example, I'm in healthcare. If when I retire, somebody's going to come in and they're going to do my role and they're going to change things, right? They're going to make it to their image. So my impact is gone. Right. But with being a family man, being close to your family, I have an opportunity to have a, you know, two, maybe three generational impact, because I'm going to impact my kids' lives. They might have kids, and what are they going to say? Hopefully they're going to say how awesome grandpa is, right? I'm going to impact their kids' lives.
Fingers
and then, yeah, fingers crossed. And then, you know, if I'm God willing, if I'm able to live long enough, maybe I'll be a great grandparent and have an opportunity to impact three generations. And so that for me, that was one of those episodes that really changed my life. It really kind of changed my outlook, I would say. Another one was Desmond Boots. He actually owns an auto detailing car wash over in Sisters, Oregon.
And he was talking about you here. Desmond Boots officially is the best name I've heard this year.
Desmond Boots is he's great. We just call him Boots. Desmond's awesome. But no, he talked about how he started his company, and you know, his business partner, he was kind of bringing him up, and this individual unfortunately took his life, and that kind of did a lot to him. But he was also like understanding, you know, again, going through this perseverance mentality, I think that just shows the testament of who you are, and being able to dedicate and say, I'm going to do this now for you, for someone else too, is also important. Because I think entrepreneurs, you know, yes, we don't want a boss, right? We want to kind of do our own thing. That's what we strive off of. But we also strive off of making impacts in our communities and doing something different. It's almost every entrepreneur you'll talk to has donated to some cause, or they're a volunteer, or they're on some board. They're not just doing their role, right? Okay. They're trying to do more. And that to me is always impressive. And those two conversations, I think, really stick with me, because it shows the perseverance of an individual, and also shows like, hey, yeah, we do get hit with a lot of unfortunate things, but at the end of the day, we can't wake up, put on the ugliest outfit, and then blame the world for what we look like, right? we got to go out there, and we just got to make it happen. And those two stories, I think, and there's plenty more on the show, but those are two that certainly kind of stand out to me.
I just want to like balance this for you and call your attention to it in case you missed it, because you said a few things that are really important. And one of them is you talked about when you're done with work, someone's going to come in, they're going to remake it. You're not going to regret not answering emails in the middle of the night, right? And You're talking about the generational impact you can have on your family. Have you considered the generational impact you are having on these entrepreneurs that you're supporting and on their families? Like, does that feed into why you do this? And do you realize what, like, you're doing something that's great for humanity and really good for people? And I just want to A, say thank you, and B, make sure you're aware that it's happening.
Well, I appreciate that. And I got to say, like, I'm not trying to be a billionaire, but I would love to influence a billion people. I think that will make me richer than anything in the world. What the hell am I going to do with $1 billion anyways? You know,
but give it influencing, all away if you don't
I, yeah, it's give it all away. but influencing, have an opportunity to influence, you know, a million people or more. Because again, if I influence one person, that person goes off and influences another person. It's a ripple effect, right? And so that's, hopefully we are able to encourage some diverse entrepreneurial growth throughout all industries and all sectors, and not just throughout Oregon, right? Throughout, we're a global economy. So I want to see all of our countries throughout this entire world continuing to prosper and be successful, because like one guest said, if our community isn't doing well, our economy never will. Right. And so really trying to get our community members to feel they're doing well, because at the end of the day, we are the only species that pays to live. When you think about it, we are the only species in this entire globe that pay to live.
So when you're not working so that you can pay to live, when you're not supporting entrepreneurs with your podcast or with the Latino Founders Accelerator, when you're not being the family man, what do you do? Who's left?
The wife and two kids, they run my world. I got two little girls. And then golf is my other hobby.
I knew there was something else in there.
I'm really good at being bad at it. I love it. So if anybody's wanted golf, I'm happy to go hack away with you. I love it. In fact, my wife and I took our kids, just last night to that sim golf, 'cause I was just itching to get golfing, but the kids are too young to take them to the course. So the wife begrudgingly said, fine, we'll go to sim. I say begrudgingly as I'm carrying her clubs into the sim golf club as well. So, but no, I those are, you know, I would say family is a big thing for me. My brother is part of the Impala car club. I try to attend those car clubs as often as I can. I grew up in Mount Angel, you know, 45 minutes south of here or so of Portland. Mm-hmm. So I try to get down there often too. If you guys have not been to Mount Angel, please check out the Oktoberfest. A lot of great drinks. Oh man, great food down there, great people. And in fact, that community is just, it's truly founded on entrepreneurs. There is no big box store there. They're all individual, independent, family-owned businesses. But yeah, family is a big part of it. And then when I have spare time after that, I definitely try to get as many community events as possible. Was at the Tigered dance fairs last week. Went to Good in the Hood a couple of weeks ago. Man, if you have not been to Good in the Hood, folks, please do it. That is the coolest party ever. Like, it's so fun. We danced so much. I was so hot. It was so fun, though. I highly recommend it. But yeah, we try to get out as much as possible and try to see out the org. Because, I mean, again, it's 90,000 square miles of amazingly beautiful land. So try to get out and see it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Nice. On the golf front, just when I was a kid, my dad was a huge golfer. And so he actually had clubs cut down for me when I was like 4 or 5. So like, you just have to get them to a certain age and then you'll be ready to go.
And how did that do to get you to like and play golf? Do you play golf much, Rick?
I played golf for a very, very long time until I got too competitive at it and I decided to quit playing. Yes. Yeah. Let's get off golf.
Are you sure I can talk about golf for a while?
No, don't get me back on golf.
It is the Open.
the thing that has come up in conversation, just kind of a thread throughout this, has been the influence of individuals or the contribution of individuals. So take us back to young Gabriel, Mount Angel. Who was the person or people who influenced you and put you on this path to where you are today?
Yeah, perfect. Great question. I would say that kind of maybe three in particular. First, Kimberly Mattson. Shout out to Kim Mattson. She was my fourth grade teacher's aide going into fourth grade. And then fifth and sixth grade, she was actually my teacher. I was actually an IEP student. It's individual education program where they, you know, I was a little, had a little dyslexia, not the best at math. But she really took me under her wings and made me feel like, hey, you're not dumb. You got this. You can do it. And because of her, I felt like she really kind of pushed me and made me feel competent enough to do things. Obviously, I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, I graduated with my graduate degree from Syracuse. So obviously, I did something, or she did something right. Ed Marcel, he was the first gentleman to give me my first role at OHSU. Believe it or not, I was 15 when I started at OHSU. I was very, very young. So I was traveling up to Portland during the summer times. And during school, I'd work, you know, locally there. My dad basically gave me the option, hey, it's either move irrigation pipe this summer or you can work with me at OHSU. So I picked the AC building over the summer fields. But then the last person is Kimberly Bass. She was the one that truthfully turned everything around for me. I was at OHSU, was working in concierge, kind of just, I would say I was an RIP employee. I was retired in place. I was just kind of coming and just doing the bare minimum just to kind of get there. Do the daily crossword at my desk kind of thing, not really engaged. And she really encouraged me to think about education. And she's like, hey, I want to get you up to the level of a supervisor, but I need you to get back to school. I need you to help me get this, check that box. Like, okay, let's do it. So I started down, you know, PCC, then Portland State, and she was the one who really kind of encouraged me to keep going. I would say my public speaking has improved because of her, because she put me in situations to have to public speak. She encouraged me to think about data analytics. She really did encourage me to really think professionally. And I got to tell you, folks that are listening, It's really easy not to believe in yourself, right? Yeah. But it's really easy to believe in yourself if somebody else believes in you. So there's so many people, and I think the pandemic has made it difficult. But when you walk around, you know, I walk around OHSU often and see thousands of people a day sometimes, and I see a lot of people looking down, looking at the floor, looking at their phone. Look up. There's a lot of people out there because I want people to understand, and I want people, they, when I see them, I want to smile at them to let them know, hey, I see you. I know sometimes it's not the greatest day. You know, you forgot your keys or you spilled your coffee, right? And usually those first things happen first thing in the morning, right? But everybody has a bad day. But my goal in life is truly to kind of remind folks that, hey, I see you. I understand it's difficult, but we're all in this together, right? As like I mentioned earlier, if our community isn't doing well, our economy never will. And I truly believe that. And so I'm trying to, like, whatever we can do to kind of get everybody, you know, going and feeling they're being seen again. That's another big goal of mine, to be honest with you.
Well, and you're really operationalizing that through this accelerator program. I mean, I think so often for founders, like, just having one other person believe in what they're doing can be an absolute game changer for folks. So I'm really happy to see you bringing that perspective and energy to the accelerator space. That's sorely needed.
I'm excited to have the opportunity. I think for anybody listening that has an idea or has a thought, there's so many people in this community that want to see you succeed. You just haven't met them yet. Get out, network. You're going to see phenomenal people. They're going to give you so many great resources, so many thoughts and ideas. And this is all free, right? Because again, they want to see you succeed, because if you succeed, guess what? All 98,000 of the state of Oregon succeeds, right? And so that's what we're trying to do. So again, if you're out there, you have an idea, come to us. We want to help you. I will connect you with anybody that I can to help you succeed. So again, that's open for anybody. Either apply for the Business Accelerator or just contact me directly. Again, I'm happy to help.
This is always in my mind when it comes to entrepreneurship, because I have been in a position to witness a lot of accelerators, incubators, and mentoring entrepreneurship over the years. And I would like to say it's not in fashion anymore, but it still is with a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of accelerators to just try to break people. Work as hard as you can. You can take a break later. I'm not hearing that from you. And if I did, I wouldn't have wanted to have you on the show, honestly. How do you inform that with the entrepreneurs that you're working with? Like, what approach do you take to let them be, because quite obviously you are a person who wants people to do something so that they're having a good life, so that they're making a positive impact on the world and working until you lose your family because you are absentee, until you lose your health because you're not taking care of yourself, isn't the path. So how do you, while encouraging these people to do these amazing things, also counsel them to be amazing humans?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, case studies are very important, but practical case studies, right? Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, this is how this entrepreneur succeeded. These are some of the pitfalls they went through, and having those individuals also speak to it. But also, you know, having the knowledge of saying, this is why it happened and this is why it didn't happen. You know, it's kind of like if you present a bunch of data, right, to somebody, but then you don't like bring it into practical sense, yeah, it's very difficult to understand the data. And so I think for us, again, for the Business Accelerator Program, is trying to bring real life scenarios. Like, this is true. We don't want to like obviously bring up extremely sad, difficult times all the times, but we do need to say, hey, it's not always, you know, hunky dory. And sometimes when I fart, butterflies don't actually come out, you know? And so
wait,
knowing
did they
that,
die up there? Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. They might have, man, but you know, so just understanding that too, and having people that have gone through that situation, because you can talk to almost any entrepreneur, they have failed at some point. They use that failure as a learning opportunity to succeed though. Right. Mm-hmm. And so letting folks know that, yeah, you're going to fall down sometimes, but here's how we got up. Here's how we dusted ourselves off, and here's how we succeeded. Those stories are going to be important because it's practical, but more importantly, having an individual that looks like them, that's in the same industry, that's also important too, because now it's like tangible, right? It was practical at first. It makes sense, but now I see it done. Now it's tangible. Now I can do it, right?
Yep.
So that's really where we hope to bridge that gap to bring in professionals that have experienced this to really talk about their own situations.
Nice. All right. It's time for us to segue into the mildly interesting questions.
I like it.
Which is my favorite part of any episode. And Rick likes it just fine as long as no one's asking him questions. So
love it.
Correct.
Yeah. Gabriel, are you ready for five mildly interesting? Okay. Question number one. What one habit would you like to pick up over the next year?
Oh, speaking Spanish. I'm working on it right now. Like, I need to get better at my Spanish speaking.
Español. And
particularly like the formal, like I'm slang, right? I'm indigenous and Spaniard. So I'm Tex-Mex, I'm Tijano. So my, it's like every other word is a Spanish word. Every other word is an English word. And so, yeah, that's one thing that's, I'm focused on that though right now. Day like six or seven Duolingo, baby. I'm getting there.
Gold star. Okay. Would you like to know a little about a lot of things or a lot about one thing?
I think I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah. Rather do a little bit, a lot. You know, just give me enough to be dangerous.
What do you need from the grocery store
right now? Oh man, yeah. We need some cheese. I think we literally made a list of soy milk for the coffees in the morning, because oh man, nothing beats soy milk in the coffee, to be honest with you. Oh man.
We're an oat milk in the coffee household, but yeah.
You know what? I lied. Oat milk. My wife's probably going to punch me in the face because every time I go to Starbucks and get her soy milk, she's like, God damn it, you did it again. I'm like, I'm sorry. Don't have me go to Starbucks, man. This is too much. This is too complicated. Jesus.
It is. I'm still that person when the Starbucks, like if I go to a Starbucks and I try to order something, they're like, what size would you like? And I'm like, medium. They're like, what size would you like?
I just get my phone. Medium. It's like, this is what the wife said she wanted. Here's the text message. Just write that on your cup.
Yeah, I'm more the if there's a line, it's great because I'm practicing my order in my head.
There you go.
The whole time before I get to the counter. If there's no line, I stand there awkwardly off just to the side until I've practiced it enough that I can walk up and do it. Yeah.
Man, we do not give the coffee shop ordering enough credit for how difficult it can be.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, they butcher our names, but they get those orders perfect. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
They still not Dave, my guys. Name right one time. One time I ordered a green tea and it came out and they must have thought they were spelling it wrong. I think they thought they were making fun of me. Oh, her name is Cami. C-A-M-I. And I was like, oh, my God, just... I feel seen.
Yeah.
I feel so seen.
They even put the heart over the eye and everything. Oh, man.
No, love I didn't That's get great. The heart. I wanted the heart, but no. All right. Question number four. Would you like to survive the zombie apocalypse?
Oh, as a zombie? Or no,
as a human?
Ooh, man.
No one's ever asked that clarifying question, though. So we're going to take
good,
into that.
That's a good twist on it. I like that one.
I mean, at least like free meals, right? As a zombie, it's, I feel like, you know, Taco Bell's going to be closed. No Mexican pizzas. I'm not sure if I really want to. Yeah, I'm not sure if I can deal with life with no Mexican pizzas from Taco Bell. That might be kind of difficult. Yeah.
So as a human, as a zombie, maybe.
As a zombie, you know, yeah, free buffet everywhere you go.
Right now, we're going to roll the die.
Let's do it.
Number 13.
Ooh.
Which, you know what? Some people hate this number. It is one of my two favorite numbers. So let's see what question is in the 13 spot. Oh, this is a great one. What is the correct number of pillows per person per bed?
Oh, Jesus, you're asking the wrong guy. I have like 18 pillows on my freaking bed, and I probably sleep with one of them. I swear. I'm like, I'd like get in there and like alligator it, just throw everything around. Blankets everywhere. Yeah, the wife loves it. I would probably say that four would be the appropriate, like, you know, per bed. But yeah, I'm probably a little bougie four. And I have like eight. So it's Costco's fault in truth, because Costco had a great deal on pillows.
And they're great pillows.
Yeah, I'm going down pillows. Like my spiritual, you know, journey with Costco right now. Like, only buy Kirkland shirts. Oh, it's great. It's great. And my wife's like, you are a true dad. It's happened.
Yeah. I was there's say, there's a comedy more dad bit. Experience. Yeah, tell them about the jeans. Is the
yeah? There's a comedy. One. There's yeah. a comedy bit that I'll have to send you if you hadn't seen it. But it's all about the Kirkland jeans and how that's you've just given up. Like,
oh, I haven't gotten the Kirkland jeans yet, but the shirts. Oh yeah, all day.
It starts with the socks, though, doesn't it? Do you have the socks?
Oh, no. See, in fact, a quick little plug, Sock It To Me, my neighbor.
Oh,
she,
man,
great socks. If you guys haven't, you got to check them out. In fact, if you guys want, I will grab her. She can be on your show. She's phenomenal.
Yes, we would love to have her on
she's
our
great.
Show.
Yeah. I'm literally, Sock It To Me. No joke, every Thursday, we live in a cul-de-sac here in Southwest Portland. Every Thursday, because of the pandemic, we actually meet outside and we have happy hour.
That's and nice. So fantastic.
There's like, that's awesome. You know, five or six couples. We all meet out. It's basically the kids just run around and run the world. Yeah. We just kind of pay the bills, to be honest with you. Yeah. But yeah, well, I'll make sure to tell her. She's going to be outside today.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Also, cul-de-sacs are, I grew up on cul-de-sacs. Like, that's like my emotional childhood safety thought is like the cul-de-sac. You know, every single neighbor in the circle, everything's fine. Is it like back in the 1980s in your cul-de-sac? Does
totally. It's like, it's great. Like I don't even want to tell you guys where I live, because I've leave my keys in my car so often that you're just going to come.
I have your address.
You can take my car almost any given night. It's insane. It's so bad. I just forget to, I'm like all the time. We just leave our shoes out in the front. We don't even, it's just a really cool neighborhood. Everybody's awesome. Super welcoming and, yeah, it's great. And they all like to drink, so it's great. It's a really good time.
It's a little party neighborhood.
Yeah,
party,
it really is.
Party cul-de-sac.
Yeah, yeah, we actually had for 4th of July, we had a barbecue competition. So every neighbor did a smoke a brisket. And we had like six briskets, which was good and bad, because after a while you're like, oh my God, I had too much briskets. But yeah,
but nonetheless, you can't really have too much brisket. So
yes, I was the crown, the champion. I called it the beat my meat competition. I'm not sure if that was the actual competition. That's what I called it though. So, and I won.
Yeah.
So I'm the beat my meat champion.
Yours was the meat.
No one beat your meat.
Nobody beat my meat. This is just derailed so quickly. I'm sorry.
It has. But you know what we do with a derailed conversation? We say, hey, Rick.
What?
Hey, why don't you wrap us up? Put a nice little bow on it. Wrap us up.
All right. I would be happy to do that. Gabriel, from the second I met you, I had the pleasure of being on your show. Just your energy and your passion about the work you do, you always bring it. And it's always palpable and tangible and just comes from such a good place. And I'm really humbled that we had the opportunity to draw some of that out for folks. I think the work you do with the podcast is amazing. I can't wait to see what goes on with the accelerator program and the founders you work with. That's obviously near and dear to my heart. So I'm really looking forward to that. But just thank you so much for not only just doing the things you do, but bringing that energy and love to the community. It's something now more than ever we Portlanders desperately need, and you so embody that one person can actually make a difference around here. So thank you for doing that work, and thank you for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you so much for being me on the show. For those interested, please visit theshadesofe.com for more information. Mm-hmm. And then quickly, want to give a quick shout out to my wife. I love you. Thank you for letting me do all this crazy stuff all the time. I know you're taking care of the kids often, so I appreciate you always having my back. I love you very much.
Thank you, Gabriel's wife.
That's awesome.
Yes, thank you.
Cool. All right. Thank you, everyone. We will talk to you next week. Bye. Bye.